Welcome into Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm your host, Ryan Porth, here with you on this Wednesday evening, live from Drake's in Cool Springs. Smashville Live coming up at the top of the hour at 7 p.m. Dante Fabro, Preds rookie defenseman, and Rocco Grimaldi, Predators forward, will be here coming up at 7 o'clock, joining Chase McCabe and Hal Gill. So that should be a lot of fun coming up at 102.5 The Game. Now, one of those two hosts is nicknamed Skillsy, and the other host, when it comes to athleticism, has no skills. So let me just put it that way, as Chase McCabe shrugs his shoulders, almost in agreement, saying he can't argue with that. So that should be a lot of fun. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Dante Fabro and Rocco Grimaldi out here at Drake's in Cool Springs. Now, last night, Rocco Grimaldi did score his first goal of this young season in the Predators' 6-1 win against the Anaheim Ducks. And look, it was a big, big night for the Predators offense, despite not having Philip Forsberg for a third straight game due to a lower body injury. The Preds scored another power play goal. By the way, the power play clicking at 20%, up 8% from where it was last season when it was ranked dead last in the National Hockey League. This team has scored 38 goals, tops in the Western Conference, tops in the league in goals per game at 4.22. So the offense is clicking on all cylinders. Last night they got two goals from Victor Arvidsson, 2 points from Roman Josi. Ryan Ellis extended his point streak to a career best 5 games. He has 12 points in 9 games. Matt Duchene, with another assist last night, now has 11 points in 9 games. Certainly an impressive start for Matt Duchene in a Preds uniform. But the best play of the night, last night, in my mind, and a 6-1 win against the Anaheim Ducks, came from Mattias Ekholm in the second period, a shorthand goal. It was the equivalent of a strip sack, fumble recovery, and a touchdown that you would see in the National Football League. He picked the pass off at center ice, took it home, and this is how it sounded on the Fifth Third Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network last night.
Getzlaff comes back, Lindholm carries. And tipped away. Here comes Ekholm in shorthanded. He scores! Mattias Ekholm!
So that was the Predators' first shorthanded goal of this season. That goal by Mattias Ekholm put the Preds up 4-0 last night. And what I was really impressed with is that the Predators did not take their foot off the gas. They have been really strong in the third period all season long, and that continued last night. They have scored a whopping 21 goals. 21 of their 38 goals this season have been scored in the final 20 minutes of regulation. By far the most goals scored in a third period by any NHL team in the league this season. And look, Anaheim, they made it 4-1. Ryan Getzlaff with a nice goal early in the third period. But the Preds had a killer instinct last night. They outshot Anaheim 11-0 after the Ducks got on the board to make it 4-1. They outshot Anaheim 11-0. They outscored them 2-0 after the Getzlaff goal. And this has been a theme of some of their victories this season, is having that killer instinct. They displayed it against Minnesota. They were down 2-1 going into the third period and then ran away with a winner in the season opener. Then they beat San Jose in that fashion. Then they beat Vegas in that fashion. And then they beat Anaheim last night in that fashion. And that is definitely something that I have liked out of this Nashville Predators team early on this season. And look, it's only 9 games, and I know they aren't close to perfect, but I will say this team is infinitely more fun to watch than last year's team during the regular season. Now, last night, 6-1 win, you might look at the scoreboard and say, huh, they didn't really need a big night out of Pekka. They needed a big night out of Pekka last night, especially in the first half of that game. He made many point-blank saves when the Ducks still had a chance to get back in the game. And I felt like the biggest moment in the game itself was Pekka making a save on an Andre Kashe breakaway late in the first period. Game is 2-0 at that point. The Ducks could have cut the lead in half and been right back in it. But Pekka makes a big glove save to keep it 2-0, and that's how it stood after the first period. And Chris Mason today, Preds TV analyst, he joined Darren Donick and Chase, and he talked about just how big the impact was of that save that he made on Kashe.
Those are one of those times where you know, it could be a turning point in the hockey game. Like, if he lets that in, all of a sudden the Ducks are back in, because they were playing well. They were getting chances. They outchanced the Preds in the first period. But, you know, the score wasn't really indicative of the type of hockey game it was. So that, again, is, you know, one of those moments in a hockey game as a goaltender. You know that the more of those that you can make, obviously, you know, this goes without saying, but the more you can make of those and frustrate and kind of demoralize the other team, it kind of takes them, their belief away a little bit. And it builds, you know, on the flip side, it builds the belief in your team that, hey, you know what, we might not be playing our best hockey right now, but we got a couple goals and our goaltender's keeping it in the hockey game. So as a goaltender, you're fully aware of that and those swings that can happen within the game. And, you know, it was kind of at a fragile point, to be honest with you, because Anaheim was playing really well. They were getting a ton of chances. So that goes in, and you're talking a completely different hockey game. So those saves are just, in retrospect, when you look back, he made plenty of them last night in the first and second period especially.
That was Chris Mason earlier today on Darren Donick and Chase discussing the impact of Pecorine's breakaway save on Andre Cache in the first period. And look, he stopped Troy Terry on a penalty shot in the second period. But I didn't think that was as big of a moment in the game as that breakaway that Cache had in the first period. Game is 2-0. Again, Ducks could have cut the lead in half, and Pecorine closed the door. And Pecorine this season has been nothing short of fantastic. He's now 5-0-1 on the season. Outside of the five goals that he gave up a couple weeks ago against the Washington Capitals, every outing he's been between the pipes, he's given up two goals or less every single timeout. He keeps getting better with each passing game. And it just kind of feels like these last few seasons, he keeps getting better with age, almost like a fine wine. Every single time he's out there, you can depend on Pecorine. I know there's a lot of questions about him in the playoffs, but Pecorine has been lights out so far this season for the Nashville Predators. This is Preds Insiders live from Drake's in Cool Springs, where Smashville Live will originate, coming up at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. Dante Fabbro and Rocco Grimaldi will be here at Drake's in Cool Springs, as they will join Chase McCabe and Hal Gill on Smashville Live. Now, one thing last night that I know Peter Laviolette addressed, and we're going to hear from him shortly, is the defensive effort from this Nashville Predators team. And the defense has been maybe a little suspect at times, as they have increased their offensive mindset early on this season. And there's a delicate balance that they have to go through in this transition, where they have to balance that offensive mindset versus the play in their own zone. And look, Pecorine and UC Saros cannot erase every single mistake that is made in front of them. UC Saros last Thursday night in Arizona, I thought, played the best game of his young season, and he kept that score from being embarrassing in the desert. And last night, Pecorine was nothing short of spectacular between the pipes for the Nashville Predators. But The defensive effort can get better for the Preds, and that's what Peter Laviolette hit on last night in his postgame press conference.
We're still working at it. There's still things that are happening, or where teams are flying players, and we're late to catch them, or you know, there's a couple reads that still could be better. You know, there's things that we definitely still need to get better at defensively. It was a good game and a good win for us. We'll go back and we'll continue to work to try and tighten things down so that, you know, we don't have to rely on our goaltender for six huge saves. You know, you need your goaltender to make some big saves. We just want to try to limit that number if we can.
That was Peter Laviolette last night after the 6-1 win against the Anaheim Ducks. And you hate to beat up on the third pairing, but the third pairing is something that the Predators absolutely need to fix. I've been saying it on Preds Insiders ever since the start of the season, and last night was not a shining moment for Yannick Weber and Dan Hamhuis. Yannick Weber was at the end of a shift. Team is in the line change when Cache gets that breakaway that I mentioned earlier. Yannick Weber commits the penalty that resulted in the penalty shot for Troy Terry, even though they're up 4-0 in that game. And then Dan Hamhuis committed the turnover that ends up in the back of their net as Ryan Getzlaff scored the lone goal for the Ducks. So that third pair, it's early. It's 9 games. But you would like to see that third pairing defensively for the Nashville Predators improve as this season goes along. But I think overall, if you compare the last handful of games to the first 5 games maybe, this defensive effort as a team overall has taken a step forward since what we saw in the first couple weeks when it was a little bit more helter-skelter in their own zone. Coming up next here on Preds Insiders, Pierre LeBrun on TSN last night had an update, maybe, on the Roman Josi contract extension negotiations for the Nashville Predators. And after that update, I have one question, and that one question is why. That's coming up next. I'm Ryan Porth. This is Preds Insiders, live from Drake's in Cool Springs, where Smashville Live will originate, coming up at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Ellis returned to the right side, extended line there. Duchesne for Ellis. Back to Duchesne by the faceoff circle. Given back to Josi to score. Roman Josi scores with 9 seconds left on the two-man advantage.
That was Roman Josi last night opening the scoring in a 6-1 win against the Anaheim Ducks for the Nashville Predators. Ryan Porth here, Preds Insiders, live from Drake's in Cool Springs. Drake's located at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard next to Starbucks and Carrabba's. Over 20 TVs to watch your favorite team, and that's where Smashville Live will originate, coming up in about 45 minutes with Rocco Grimaldi and Dante Fabro joining Hal Gill and Chase McCabe right here in Cool Springs. Now, Roman Josi continued his white-hot start for the Nashville Predators last night. He had another goal. He had another assist. Roman Josi now has 9 points in 9 games to start this season. And, look, it's a great start for a defenseman, at least offensively, when you look at the numbers. It's nothing compared to what John Carlson is doing for the Washington Capitals. John Carlson has a whopping 20 points in 11 games. I don't even know how that's possible for a defenseman to get 20 points in 11 games. Roman Josi doesn't even have the most points on his own blue line. Ryan Ellis has 12 points in 9 games. But Roman Josi has been fantastic for the Nashville Predators to open the season. It's almost like he's playing in a contract year right now, going into the final year of his deal. 9 points in 9 games. Now, last night, and we've heard different little, I guess you could say, whispers about what's going on between Roman Josi's camp and the Nashville Predators. And we've heard some whispers from north of the border. Elliot Friedman has talked about it multiple times. Well, last night, Pierre LeBrun on TSN discussed Roman Josi. And here was Pierre LeBrun with James Duthie of TSN during their little insiders panel discussing the latest with the Preds captain.
Ottawa is at the stage of trying to acquire talent and develop the young talent. Nashville is at the stage of just trying to keep the great talent that they have. Roman Josi would be one of those. He's been terrific his entire career there. How is the contract talks going?
Well, it kind of hit a snag, frankly, at the end of the summer and before camp. I mean, they've been talking the entire offseason. Both sides, I think if you would have asked him at the end of last year, thought he'd be signed by camp. It hasn't happened. But there was a meeting last week in Los Angeles when the Predators were there between GM David Poile and the agent Judd Moldover. This is such a paramount negotiation for this franchise. I mean, this guy cannot go to market if you're David Poile. But the reality is, I think his camp would like to see this guy be the third highest paid defenseman in the National Hockey League behind Erik Karlsson and Drew Doughty. And right now, clearly, the Predators aren't there.
That was Pierre LeBrun last night on TSN on their little insiders panel during one of the intermissions of one of TSN's games, talking about the latest on Roman Josi. Now, to me, the most important part of that clip that you just heard right there was LeBrun saying Yossi's camp would like to be the third highest paid defenseman in the league behind Erik Karlsson and Drew Doughty. And that quote, clearly the Predators aren't there, end quote. Now, this is from Pierre LeBrun, who is very well connected. He's obviously not in the negotiations between Josi's camp, Josi, and the Preds. But the question that I have as to why clearly the Predators aren't there, as stated by Pierre LeBrun, is why? Why aren't the Predators there to make Roman Josi the third highest paid defenseman in the National Hockey League? Now, we've heard Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet speculate with Darren Donick and Chase that it could be trade protection causing a hangup. But here is Pierre LeBrun saying that it could be money. Now, in reality, it could be both. It probably is both. But why? Is it because they don't want to pay him as much as he's worth due to future salary cap unknowns and not knowing where it's going to stand next summer and beyond? I don't know. But at this point, if you're a cap team, what's another $500,000 to keep your star defenseman and your captain and one of your faces of the franchise? the question, why? Is it because he's 30 years old or will be 30 years old when that new contract kicks in? This is something Adam Fingan of The Athletic brought up with me on Monday's Preds Insiders. Here was my exchange with Adam Fingan about Yossi's age.
There are risks involved. I mean, Roman Yossi is going to be 30 years old when this contract starts. He has a history of concussions. He should age better than other defensemen in his realm because of how fleet of foot he is and how good of a player he is and how smart of a player he is. He's not a physical player, so right. The body, you know, won't break down as much you would think.
That was Adam Fingan Monday night on Preds Insiders with me talking about how there are some risks involved in signing Roman Yossi to what would likely be an 8-year extension when he just turns 30. Now, I understand there are risks involved with this. I think they are more in the latter half of that contract when he might be 35, 36, 37. But if I'm GM David Poile, I am paying this guy. Roman Yossi is a top 5, 6, maybe 7 defenseman in the National Hockey League. He is as elite as they come when it comes to the new age of puck-moving defensemen. We've seen a complete shift with defensemen in the National Hockey League, and Roman Yossi is the prototype puck-moving blue liner. He is it. Erik Karlsson got $11.5 million in San Jose. Drew Doughty got $11 million in L.A. Those are the two highest-paid defensemen in the National Hockey League. P.K. Subban, now with the Devils, formerly with the Preds, as you know, currently third with a $9 million cap hit. And Pierre LeBrun saying in that clip we heard earlier in the segment that Yossi's camp would like to be the third highest-paid defenseman in the National Hockey League. I don't think that is far off at all. I think once this does get done, and I think it will, I don't think this is going to drag out beyond the All-Star break and into the trade deadline, and then all of a sudden we're talking, you know, all these rumors that are coming from Canada or the NHL insiders where Roman Yossi's name is on the block. I don't think it's ever going to get to that point. But this is a player that could make 10 or more million next July 1 if it ever got to that point where he hit the open market. I want to quote a movie, and it's Rounders. Calvin, let's play the clip.
Pay that man his money.
Pay Roman Yossi the money. I don't care what it takes. Maybe not 11 and a half, but Roman Yossi deserves to get paid with a capital P. Roman Yossi is one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League, and the longer you wait, the more likely it is that Yossi's price tag is going to go up and up and up. And I know he downplayed the contract in the preseason, but this is a guy that is playing like he is in a contract year. Last night he almost scored a goal like he was Bobby Orr. He went coast to coast like butter toast and almost scored a goal late in the second period that would have been on all the highlight reels. It may have even made ESPN's top 10 last night. It was that close to being that beautiful of a goal from Roman Yossi late in the second period. He has been awesome to start this season. He's your captain. He's one of your faces of the franchise. I don't really care what the number is as long as it's not egregious. Somewhere in the $9 million range. 9.5. I would even go close to 10 on this guy. As Pierre LeBrun stated in that clip we heard earlier in the segment, this is a paramount negotiation for the Nashville Predators. You just traded P.K. Subban in part due to money to free cap space for Matt Duchene, but you are a cap team now. If I'm GM David Poile, you don't really have much leverage in this negotiation to begin with. I think you pay the man his money, like you heard in Rounders. I also think, naturally, that a lot of people are comparing this situation to the one that Ryan Suter found himself in back in the 2011-12 season, where he ended up leaving that summer in 2012 on July 4th to go to the Minnesota Wild, who play the Nashville Predators here tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And look, that was 7.5 years ago, and so much has changed about this Preds franchise over that time. The Predators weren't a cap team back then, and you kind of got the sense that Ryan Suter didn't want to really be here anymore. Well, it's 2019 now. The Preds are a cap team. They have the resources to sign Roman Josi, and Roman Josi wants to be here, and the Preds want to keep him. All reasons why I think it will eventually get done, but you don't want to get to a point where you have Pierre LeBrun, or you have Elliot Friedman, or you have Darren Drager, or you have Bob McKenzie stating that contract talks are at a stall, they're hitting a snag. You don't want to get to that point around the holidays. You don't want to be at that point around the All-Star break. Get it done, get it over with, and one more time from Rounders, Calvin.
Pay that man his money.
That's all I have to say about the Roman Josi contract negotiation. This is Preds Insiders live from Drake's in Cool Springs, where Smashville Live will originate coming up at 7 o'clock, just about 30 minutes from now. You can come out and meet Rocco Grimaldi and Dante Fabbro. Already a great crowd in here. We've got somebody in a Rocco Grimaldi jersey. I am sure he is going to meet Rocco Grimaldi. Look, this team is on fire to start the season on offense. This has been a lot of fun to watch this team here in October, and I think it's only going to get better. And if you want to watch this team take on the Chicago Blackhawks next Tuesday, you can register to win tickets while you are here, and we will draw a winner during Smashville Live next hour. So you can register to win a pair of tickets in Section 102 to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks for the first time this season next Tuesday on October 29th. That is all here exclusively at Drake's in Cool Springs at 553 Cool Springs Boulevard next to Starbucks and Carrabba's. Coming up next here on Preds Insiders, I will be joined by Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com senior writer for the National Hockey League. I will get his take on the Roman Josi contract negotiation and all things Preds. Coming up next, I'm Ryan Porth. You are listening to Preds Insiders live on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Live from Drake's in Cool Springs, Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth here. This will be the site of Smashville Live at the top of the hour. Rocco Grimaldi and Dante Fabbro joining Chase McCabe and Hal Gill. Should be a lot of fun talking all things Preds. And if you want a chance to win a pair of tickets to Preds Hawks next Tuesday, October 29th, you can register to win here, and we will draw a name later next hour during Smashville Live. Joined now on Preds Insiders by a good friend of the station, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL senior writer. Greg, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, and spent last segment talking about Roman Josi and the fact that, according to Pierre LeBrun and Elliot Friedman here in the last couple weeks, each reporting that the contract talks between the Preds and Yossi's camp have, quote, hit a snag. Well, what's kind of your perspective on Josi, the current negotiation that Poile finds himself in, and the importance of this negotiation for Nashville?
Yeah, I'm sure the snag is that Rare is the top pairing defenseman with his offensive skills that ever makes it to the open market. And, you know, the crazy part is it's both him and Alex Pietrangelo of the Blues both looking at the same sort of unrestricted free agency, which is maybe even unprecedented as far as the availability of two of those types of guys. So, you know, snags happen. I mean, that's why they call it a negotiation. It doesn't concern me at this point. You know, I think the Predators have done a pretty good job of getting their house in order from a cap perspective to, you know, properly compensate Josi going forward. So, you know, these things happen, but I do think the temptation of testing the market and seeing what's out there, considering, you know, outside of maybe a top-line center and a goalie that can play 65 games, this type of defenseman might be the rarest commodity in all of hockey.
While it would be a rare commodity on the open market, we know Josi loves it in Nashville. We know the Preds love having Roman Josi on their blue line for obvious reasons. So how surprised would you be if it got to the point of, say, the All-Star break or the trade deadline and Roman Josi still doesn't have his extension?
It wouldn't surprise me, just because, you know, part of this negotiation, if he's got a number in mind and they're not hitting it, is to try to push this thing as close to the open market as you possibly could. I don't think it's a harbinger of doom. I think you're right in saying, you know, in his case and in the case with Pietrangelo with the Blues. I think those are both two guys that love the community that they're in, love the organization they're with. But the fact of the matter is that when you're Roman's age, you want to break the bank. This is the contract to do so. You know, I think he's been a value player for the majority of his life, and this is the moment in which he really starts making coins. So I wouldn't read it as being, you know, he's got one skid out the door if that happens. I think it's all about pressure points and trying to squeeze out the number that you're looking for. But, you know, I don't think there's really been any indication that he's not going to be a Predator after this season, which is sort of the good news. We haven't had that leak yet where he's looking to test the market or, you know, see if the grass is greener and all those things that you start to hear about pending free agents.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com here with us on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Now let's kind of look at the on-ice aspect of Roman Josi. He has 9 points through nine games. He's played very well. Kind of looking big picture with Roman Josi in a Preds uniform, with P.K. Subban no longer on the roster, do you expect Josi to maybe have a better chance to be a serious Norris Trophy contender?
That, I mean, I guess there is sort of the notion of the spotlight was glaring so hard on PK at all times that it sort of drowned out the support that Josi and guys like Ekholm would have gotten. It's an interesting theory, and not necessarily a bad one. Look, he's going to get a lot of attention. I mean, it's not only the numbers that he's putting up, but I mean, if you want to go to the fancy stats, which are increasingly more important when it comes to voters and the Norris and the Selke, the best possession player on the team, puts up a ton of shot attempts. He's going to be right in the mix, I think, at the end of the year. Of course, right now, as we head to the end of October, it's hard to have any conversation about the Norris without all the focus being on John Carlson, who's like on pace for 200 points or something nuts with the Capitals right now. But I think as the race shakes out, and as the Predators continue to be as competitive as they've been, because don't forget, I mean, the better the team, the more attention the top candidates for these individual awards get. Look no further than the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. I think the more focus will start to center on Josi and his Norris campaign.
Among hockey people and among media league-wide, what is the perception of Victor Arvidsson?
That's a good question. I can't say that I've had many conversations with people about Victor. Maybe that's the answer in and of itself. The players that get chatted about when we're all sitting around having beers. I see him as, and I don't mean to draw this as a direct comparison as far as the kinds of players that they are, but if you think back to the career that Alex Tanguay had with the Colorado Avalanche, you know, he was never Forsberg, and he was never Sakic. And he was never Milan Hayduk, in my opinion. He was just a perfectly great complimentary guy. And the way that it always shook out with that top line when it was together for the Predators, I always saw him as that type of guy. Like, you know, Forsberg is remarkable talent. Johansson was sort of the glue for the line. And Arvidsson was a solid complimentary guy to that line. And that's not to besmirch him or demean him or say, hey, you're not calling him a star player. I just think that he is that type of guy where you could throw him onto that line or any line, and he may not necessarily be the guy that drives the line, but he's certainly the guy that helps the line achieve the greatest success that it can.
Are you buying these new-look Nashville Predators through nine games?
Here's what I'm buying. I'm buying the over as far as what I'm buying on the Nashville Predators.
Well played there, Greg.
I do a show called The Daily Wager on ESPN2 every day, and that was my big trend on Monday, was just how many of these Predators games have hit the number on the over. It's been pretty remarkable to see. I don't expect the trend to continue. I think you'd probably want them to tighten up a little bit more on the defensive side of the puck pressing forward, but it's been fun to watch, and it's been interesting to see sort of the lineup machinations for Peter Laviolette early in the season. And clearly the way that things are shaking out in the Western Conference, with just some really unpredictable starts in Dallas and San Jose, and then on the other side of the equation, unpredictable starts in Edmonton, for example, and the way that they've gotten off the blocks. A good start, I think, is the best thing that could have happened to the Predators based on what we've seen sort of shake out in the Western Conference so far.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com here with us on Preds Insiders. Greg, how surprised have you been about Matt Duchene's hot start, 11 points in nine games?
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Emily Kaplan, my podcasting partner on ESPN and Ice, about that the other day, and I think she was a little bit more bullish on you know, what his start was going to end up being. I thought that signing was pretty perfect as far as what he brings to the table from a skill set perspective, from what that lineup needed so desperately, from the perspective of a you know, a really solid offensive contributor in the middle. The power play is a cyclical thing in the NHL, and you figured that would start to kind of move the other way at some point as well. So not shocked by his start. Real good offensive player, and a guy who I think maybe has learned a bit about himself in the last couple of years, especially last season with the big trade and everything else that went on with the Blue Jackets, to now find a certain comfort zone, let's call it, with a team that he really wanted to play for.
Greg, just following you on social media, I know how closely you follow the New Jersey Devils, and obviously a lot of Preds fans are keeping an eye on the New Jersey Devils this season with P.K. Subban being traded from here to there in the offseason. What have been the immediate returns of Subban with the Devils, both on and off the ice?
Boy, he's been – well, off the ice, it's been great. I mean, he's P.K. Subban, and I think that the Devils have certainly relied on him to create some hype around that team, and I think that his role with the team going forward is going to be an extraordinarily important one. I mean, for those that don't know the dynamics of the Devils, they moved from East Rutherford, New Jersey, just over a decade ago to Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey, predominantly an African-American community, and really the team has never been able to, in my opinion at least, connect with that community in an effective way. And now with both PK and Wayne Simmonds on the roster, I think that they're going to make some interesting inroads there. At least that's what the team has told me after those acquisitions in the summer. So off the ice, I think PK has been great. On the ice, he's been extraordinarily ordinary, which is not what you expect to see from PK Subban. There have been some mistakes that he's made on the ice. He's not necessarily been a difference maker. He's laid some big hits. He's had some good moments. But much like the rest of this Devils team, I think he's really still trying to find his footing early on this season. I mean, don't forget, this is a team that went winless in its first six games. It got to the point where they had to move their assistant general manager from the front office down to the bench to try to, add an authoritarian voice or something there. They won the next two games, and then they got a huge, like, bye-week break. So we don't know what they are yet, but we do know that early on, P.K. Subban has been pretty ordinary, I think I would say, for the Devils.
Well, I think that is a version of P.K. Subban that we saw a lot here in Nashville for stretches of last regular season, maybe a little slower than he has been, maybe not as effective in the defensive zone. And I'm not necessarily surprised to hear you kind of describe PK's first impression in New Jersey like that on the ice.
Yeah, and you know, it's because he's PK, of course, it's never just like he's a year older and maybe his skills have started to, you know, get a little bit duller as he moves forward. I mean, everybody loses a little bit of a step at some point. You know, because it's PK, you go around this league like I have to different buildings, and his name comes up, and you start to hear people talk about his, will to play and his attention to hockey and, you know, PK the brand and, you know, his relationship and everything else. It's inescapable. In some ways, probably not fair to him. But I mean, we'd be lying if we didn't say that there is a perception about PK out there based on the lacklusterness of his game in at least the last maybe season and a half.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com here with us on Preds Insiders. Greg, final thing for you. Everyone in Nashville is feeling good about the start, 5-3-1. The offense looks great, but I don't think anyone in the Central Division can feel as good as the Colorado Avalanche can. They are 7-1-1 through nine games. White hot start for the Avalanche. Are you drinking the Colorado Kool-Aid?
I think they felt a lot better about life before Mikko Rantanen, twisted his ankle like Linda True. Blair in The Exorcist the other night. They say week to week, and that's sort of a miraculous prognosis based on how grisly that play looks. Yeah, they should be feeling pretty good about life. And I wrote about this in the power rankings this week that's kind of coming out tomorrow, to no one's surprise. Colorado rather high up in those rankings. Offensively, you knew they were going to be real good, especially with the additions they made to that lineup and especially with the talent they put out there on special teams. It's their defense, and their team defense has been really impressive. I mean, they're keeping the puck out of the net more this year than they had last season so far. Solid goaltending from Philip Grubauer. And you know, the additions that they made in the offseason with Nazem Kadri and Jano Sanskoy and Andre Burkowski and others, we knew that that was going to lead to more goals. I don't think we quite knew it was going to lead to a total commitment to team defense like they've had so far. They are a really good team. I hesitate to say that they're the favorite right now because I still think they might need another year of seasoning and let that incubate for one more year before they become a real cup contender. But they're a dynamic offensive team for sure.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com. Greg, great stuff as always. Thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you again down the road.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com there. Interesting stuff on Roman Josi. Interesting comparison of Victor Arvidsson to Alex Tanguy back when Alex Tanguy was a really valuable player with the Colorado Avalanche. And obviously, his comments on P.K. Subban, can't say I'm overly surprised about how P.K. Subban has started with the New Jersey Devils and that he has left a little to be desired with the New Jersey Devils so far. Coming up next, there was a poll question on Twitter last night that I want to get to. That's coming up next. We are live from Drake's in Cool Springs, the site of Smashville Live coming up at 7 o'clock. Rocco Grimaldi and Dante Fabro will be here to join Chase McCabe and Hal Gill. Drake's in Cool Springs, 553 Cool Springs Boulevard, next to Starbucks and Carrabba's. If you're looking for something to do tonight and you're in the area, come on out. Should be a lot of fun. You can register to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and Blackhawks on October 29th to sit in Section 102. So that should be a lot of fun. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday and Wednesday by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry for all your dental needs. Visit KellyERice.com. They're actually located right down the street from where we are here at Drake's in Cool Springs. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Carrie Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard. More Preds Insiders coming up next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. What's up, Kamish? You're listening to Preds Insiders live from Drake's in Cool Springs, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth here with you. Riding solo before Smashville Live, Dante Fabro and Rocco Grimaldi will be here with Chase McCabe and Hal Gill talking all things Preds. You'll be able to meet the guys, register to win Preds Blackhawks tickets for October 29th. That's all coming up next at 7 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. Now, last night I saw an interesting poll question from Thomas Willis of the Nashville Predators. Thomas Willis tweeted out, Preds fans, who do you enjoy beating the most? Write in below if needed. The poll question was between the Blackhawks, the Jets, the Ducks, and the Stars. Now, when you vote, Chicago is 52%, Anaheim 23%, Winnipeg 20%, and Dallas 5%. I got to say, I was a little surprised by those results. I know everyone loves beating Chicago in these parts because it's Chicago, and it's the color red and all that. But if you ask me, I enjoy watching Preds wins against the Ducks maybe more than any other team in the National Hockey League. And maybe it's because they've had some chippy as-you-know-what series over the years. But I got to say, for me, I enjoy watching the Preds beat the Ducks more than any other team in the National Hockey League. Also, I was a little surprised that the Blues were not on this poll question from Thomas Willis. It was the Hawks, Ducks, Jets, and Stars. I think the Blues would be a close second for me, but watching the Preds beat the Ducks is always a joy, at least for me. And I think when you listen to Pecorine last night, who was asked about facing the Ducks even without Perry, even without Ryan Kessler, I think Pecorine enjoys beating the Anaheim Ducks as well.
They still fire up without Perry and Kessler? Still get fired up for them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They still have enough, not agitators.
Other guys,
yeah. But at the same time, you know, like we talked about, we have a lot of history between these guys. So I also have respect towards them, and it's always a fun game. Even for me as a goalie, I don't get to join the physical game that much, but it's still emotionally, it's fun to be part of it.
That was Pecorine last night after the 6-1 win over the Anaheim Ducks. Look, I don't know. For me, I don't know if beating Anaheim will ever get old. Maybe like 5 to 10 years from now, when all the Ducks players on this roster are no longer there and Ryan Getzlaff is no longer playing and he's completely bald instead of just having a bald spot. But beating the Ducks just never gets old. Last night was definitely fun to watch for the Nashville Predators, beating Anaheim by a score of 6-1 at Bridgestone Arena. Speaking of Bridgestone Arena, tomorrow night the Preds will be taking on the Minnesota Wild. Pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. All the action heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Minnesota Wild goalie Devan Dubnyk will be out with an upper body injury that he sustained last night. At least maybe Minnesota's goalie won't be flopping like a fish out of water tomorrow night in the crease for the Minnesota Wild. I don't know. Maybe a bold prediction there, as Devan Dubnyk is definitely known for his fair share of flopping around in the crease. Kevin Fiala, interesting story here with the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, formerly of the Nashville Predators, Kevin Fiala. The Minnesota Wild have played 9 games. Kevin Fiala has played 7 games. Kevin Fiala has been a healthy scratch in 2 games this season, including last night. Kevin Fiala has 1 assist in 7 games. He has a -4 rating. He's averaging less than 15 minutes per game. And I'm just sitting here scratching my head. How in the world has it come to this point for Kevin Fiala, where on a team like the Minnesota Wild, Kevin Fiala can't even scratch the lineup? And they won last night. And we know NHL coaches, they don't like to change lineups after victories most of the time. So I don't know if we even see Kevin Fiala tomorrow night here in Smashville. Look, I had so many doubts about Kevin Fiala last year, and I checked out on him in a game against Detroit last February when he was audibly late to get on the ice for a shift in the third period. Noticed it while sitting in the stands, and I could not believe what I was seeing. Kevin Fiala has talent. Obviously, wish him all the best. Scored 23 goals in the President's Trophy winning season for the Nashville Predators. But obviously, he needs to get his head out of his butt if he wants to have a successful career in the National Hockey League. Other interesting things that I'm watching for tomorrow night between the Preds and the Wild. I'll be interested to see if Philip Forsberg will be back in the lineup. He's missed the last 3 games with a lower body injury. It would obviously be a nice boost offensively for the Preds if Philip Forsberg can get back in the lineup and draw back in with Matt Duchene and Mikael Granlund, although Kyle Turris has looked pretty darn good alongside Duchene and Granlund in these last couple games. Also interested to see if Pecorine will start his 3rd straight game for the first time this season, or if Peter Laviolette goes back to UC Saros. Pecorine playing some of his best hockey that we've seen this calendar year. Said earlier in the program, Pecorine 5-0-1. He has been lights out. Outside of the 5 goals he gave up against the Caps, every outing this season he's given up 2 goals or less. Last night, 26 saves against the Ducks in the 6-1 win. He was very, very good. That will do it for Preds Insiders here at Drake's in Cool Springs. Thanks to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com for joining us here on tonight's show. But coming up next, it is the show that everyone is at Drake's in Cool Springs to watch and see in person. Dante Fabro, Rocco Grimaldi will join Chase McCabe and Hal Gill right here at Drake's in Cool Springs on ESPN 102.5 The Game.